at Lexington Hospital. So please remember and keep Ken in your thoughts and prayers as well. Sarah, you're up. If you don't have zoo passes and you'd still like to go to the zoo, our office is open every day this week. I'll just let that sink in for a little while. Let us prepare for our worship. Please rise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, abounding in steadfast love toward us, healing the sick and raising the dead, showering us with every good gift. Amen. Let us come into the revealing and healing light of God, confessing our sin. And gracious God, we come to you for healing and life. Our sins hurt others and diminish us. We confess them to you. Our lives bear the scars of sin. we bring these also to you. Show us your mercy, O God. Bind up our wounds, forgive us our sins, and free us to love for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The Apostle Paul assures us, when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ, nailing the record of our sins to the cross. Jesus says to you, your sins are forgiven. Be at peace and tell everyone how much God has done for you. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Compassionate God, you have assured the human family of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Deliver us from the death of sin and raise us to new life in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Be seated, and would the children please come forward. I told Blake a few minutes ago, I didn't see any children, which is probably a good thing because I wasn't sure I was going to be able to do my children's sermon was going to work. So,
if you want to do it, we'll tell you.
No. All right, so let's continue with our first lesson.
A reading from 1 Kings. After this, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became ill. His illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. She then said to Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son. But he said to her, "Give me your son." He took him from her bosom and carried him into the upper chamber where he was lodging and laid him on his own bed. He cried out to the Lord, "O Lord my God, have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I am staying, killing her son?" Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried out to the Lord, "O Lord my God, let this child's life come into him again." The Lord listened to the voice of Elijah. The life of the child came into him again, and he revived. Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper chamber into the house and gave him to his mother. Then Elijah said, "See, your son is alive." So the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
A reading from Galatians. For I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel that was proclaimed by me is not of human origin. For I did not receive it from a human source, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. You have heard, no doubt, of my earlier life in Judaism. I was violently persecuting the church of God and was trying to destroy it. I advanced in Judaism beyond many among the people of the same age, for I was far more zealous for the traditions of my ancestors. But when God, who had set me apart before I was born and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me so that I might proclaim him among the Gentiles, I did not confer with any human being, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were already apostles before me. But I went away once into Arabia, and afterwards I returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I did go up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and stayed with him for 15 days. But I did not see any other apostle except James, the Lord's brother. In what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown by the sight to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard it said, the one who formerly was persecuting us is now proclaiming the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 7th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went with him. As he approached the gate of the town, a man who had died was being carried out. He was his mother's only son, and she was a widow, and with her was a large crowd from the town. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came forward and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, rise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized all of them, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has looked favorably on his people." This word about him spread throughout Judea and all the surrounding country. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Here's a prayer we can probably all pray. Dear God, so far today I've done all right. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. I'm very thankful for that. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to get out of bed. And from then on, I'm going to need a lot more help. Amen. You know, we chuckle at that, but it's really not that bad a prayer. We do need God's help to get through our days. We need God's guidance. We need the strength and comfort of God's presence with us. We need God's grace and love. You know, praying is harder than it looks. Something that seems like it should be so easy for us to spend time with the God who loves us. is sometimes so very hard. Many of us find prayer at times fulfilling, at times confusing, at times unsatisfying, frustrating, and bewildering. Others of us may find it to be something we enjoy, or an onerous duty, or an obligation, or something we do without a whole lot of thought. We're going to talk about prayer today because of our Old Testament lesson about Elijah and the widow at Zarephath. It's an odd little story, one that's always been one of my favorites. Elijah had been run out of town by Jezebel the queen, who was threatening to kill him. He had fled to an area called Sidon, a foreign country, and there he found refuge with a widow and her son. Now, this is the woman who had that last bit of oil and flour to make a piece of bread before starving, but after Elijah came, the oil and the flour never ran out. But right after that, the woman's son got sick, really sick, and the woman blamed Elijah. She knew he was a man of God, and she reasoned that with him so close to her, God had taken notice of her and her faults and had struck down her son. So Elijah took the boy and then took the matter to God. One of the commentators I used in researching this passage said, "This story is about bringing pain and questions about our lives to God. The bereft widow expresses her honest pain, even if it isn't pretty. Elijah doesn't remonstrate her for what she has said. He does not argue with her theology. Rather, he carries into God's presence not only the body of the child, but also the immense grief of the child's mother." What we learn, and what the widow learns, is that the prayers and responses of the men and women of God make a huge difference in the world. Prayer. We have questions. We have confusion. Perhaps what it asks of us is trust. Prayer is more about the goodness of God than our requests. In prayer, we're in a relationship. Philip Yancey says, "I have come to see prayer as a privilege, not a duty. Like all good things, prayer requires some discipline. Yet I believe that life with God should seem more like a friendship than a duty. Prayer includes moments of ecstasy and also dullness, mindless distraction and acute concentration, flashes of joy and bouts of irritation. In other words, prayer has features in common with all relationships that matter." And maybe that's the best way to think about prayer, that we're in a relationship. A personal relationship where we share our lives with God and find God throughout our lives. Prayer. Through prayer, we discover how we hunger for God, just how good God is, and how much God hungers to relate to us. Mother Teresa once said, "Prayer is not asking. Prayer is putting oneself in the hands of God, at his disposition, and listening to his voice in the depth of our hearts." Dear God, so far today we've done okay. But in just a little while, we're going to leave our pews and go out into the world. We're going to need your help. Amen.
Amen.
Gathered as God's people, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Living Lord, we've probably prayed our most important prayer already, a prayer for you to be with us and help us in life. Strengthen our trust in you, O God. Assure us that you abide with us and that you hold us always in the palm of your hand. Lord, in your mercy, loving Savior, there is so much in our lives that needs redeeming. Forgive us of our wrongs. Forgive us of the good we failed to do. Lead our hearts in true repentance and our lives in following your way. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Lord, bring your compassion on all who are hungry, who are poor or ill, all who are lonely or far from home. Bring your healing, your help, and your strength to uphold us. Bless all your people, O God, and especially those whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy, gracious servant, as you came to save us and to teach us about your love, guide us to live lives of love for others. Open our hearts, work through our hands, forgive our complacency and deadness, and raise us to life in you. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share God's peace.
God of mercy and grace, the eyes of all wait upon you, and you open your hand in blessing. Fill us with good things at your table, that we may come to the help of all in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. He was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. Oh God, as a mother comforts her child, so you comfort your people, carrying us in your arms and satisfying us with this food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Send us now as your disciples, announcing peace and proclaiming that the reign of God has come near, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Oh,
Y'all drink all the wine?
Yes, we did, King.